Well, I'm thankful today that we can hold to the Lord's hand. I'm thankful that He is a friend unto us and has promised that He would never leave us or forsake us. I would appreciate your prayers this morning. The Lord would help us to bring out that which He sees would be beneficial to us. Without the Lord, we have nothing. Ask that the Lord bless His word. I'd like to begin in Genesis, the 28th chapter, written vows, thought that I'd like for us to consider. 28th chapter of Genesis is, we find Jacob running for his life. He had engaged in trickery and deceit with the help of his mother, and his brother was understandably upset with him. He realized that he had no place there at home and that he was going to have to run for his life, all that he had known, leave behind him. It says, begin in the 10th verse, Jacob went up from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. This place that I've come to as I'm running, and the future seems so uncertain, and lay down to sleep, and the Lord visits me. You ever have the Lord visit you in your time of need, in your time of distress? I'm thankful that the Lord sees right where we are. The Lord saw Jacob. He saw the path that led Jacob to be on this trail, to be running. The Lord visited him and gave him this promise, extended his covenant unto him, and he said that I will bring thee again, I am with thee, and will keep thee, etc. And he said the Lord was in this place, and I didn't even realize it, I didn't know it. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took a stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. This records Jacob's response to the Lord's revelation, to the vision that the Lord gave to him, to the promise that he extended to Jacob. And his heart, his response was, Lord, I want to covenant myself unto you. Lord, I want to make a vow unto you here. This isn't just something that I lightly say in passing. A vow is not just light words or, just spur of the moment thoughts that I have. But this is something that I'm binding myself unto. That this carries weight. Lord, I want to say this in the presence of God. Lord, I am covenanting myself. I am tying myself to this, to make a vow. Lord, you've revealed and you've promised unto me. Oh, thank the Lord for His promises unto us. They are abundant. They are many. They are, well, I think technically over 7,000 something in the Word of God. You know, the Lord has promised unto us to be our God. And the Lord is looking for us to vow unto Him, Lord, I'm going to be yours, and you will be my God. So he made this vow, and I'd like to skip forward a little bit, just a couple chapters, but further down in Jacob's life. The 31st chapter of Genesis, the 11th verse. The angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes, and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle, or ringstraked, and speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. And we could read the story leading up to this, that the Lord blessed Jacob. The Lord blessed what Jacob put his hand unto, and caused his herds and his flocks to multiply abundantly. The Lord blessed him, and Laban, his father-in-law, turned on him. We know the trickery that Jacob himself suffered at the hand of his father-in-law. But the Lord had blessed Jacob, and the Lord again revealed himself to him, and Jacob responded, and he said, I am the God of Bethel. You remember where Bethel was? Bethel was where Jacob first met the Lord, or the Lord met Jacob. And Jacob erected those stones for a memorial. He said, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out of this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. The Lord coming and intervening again in Jacob's life, saying, I want you to remember some things. I want to bring you back to the place that you were at when you were in trouble and you were in distress, and I met you there, and I promised you that I'd never leave you and I'd never forsake you. I want you to go back there in your mind. I want you to go back to Bethel and remember, I am the God that met you there in Bethel. Folks, I am thankful that there is a God that does not change. There is a God who has promised to be there for us, and not only for us, but throughout all generations. I am the God of Bethel, where you vowed a vow unto me. Folks, it wasn't lost on the Lord. The Lord heard the vow that Jacob made unto him. His ear was open unto that, and he heard that vow that Jacob made. And he reminded Jacob of that. That place that I met you, and that you made a vow unto me. Vows. You know, it can be easy to promise a lot of things when people are in a tough spot. When people are in a pinch, it's easy to begin promising other people or promising the Lord a whole lot of things. But our vows are to be more than just a knee-jerk emotional response. They're to be more than something that just makes me feel better about myself. More than just words. Our words matter. And in a society where it seems like that concept has been so largely lost, that our words matter. Our words matter before one another. And our words matter before God. In our time, in our day and age, there are so many contracts, so many waivers, so many things that you sign. If you've made an agreement to something, you're going to sign on the dotted line to hold yourself legally liable to what you just said. But you know, there was a... Well, the scripture says, be careful about looking back on the former days, saying they're better than these. But it does seem like there was a time when people's word was more honored than it is today. That people would stand by the commitment they made. If they said, I'm going to be there, I'm going to do such and such, I'm going to deliver this for you, that I'm going to stay until the job's done, I'm going to do it right, I'm going to make sure that the thing that I said will come to pass, and that I will fulfill that. I'd like to look at Ecclesiastes, the second or the fifth chapter. Ecclesiastes 5, and beginning in the first. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. You know, it's good and it's important for us to have a vision of who we are before God, and of who God is, and the fear of God upon our hearts. Realize that God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. You know, if folks truly had this realization, I believe that at the courtroom, they wouldn't have to say, "Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?" There would already be something binding in the words that I speak. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow, than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. You know, the scripture is not saying here, don't make a vow. Now, we'll read a little bit in the New Testament of some instruction that's given unto us. Maybe we'll go ahead and read that, keep this in our minds to come back to. Jesus said in the 5th chapter of Matthew, Matthew 5 and the 34th verse, "I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shall thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." So he said, swear not by all these different things that he listed. And that was something that was common to happen, that people would say, "By Jerusalem I say," or "By the temple I say unto you," latching onto the credibility or the worth or the merit or the value of this thing that they're swearing by. "That I swear by heaven, I swear by my own head, take my head off if I'm not speaking the truth. I swear by this and I swear by that." You know, a man that won't tell the truth when he's not swearing is a man that won't tell the truth when he is swearing. You ever hear, maybe it's a child say sometimes, well, do you pinky promise, or do you cross your heart? Do you double swear? Do you, folks, all of that Jesus is saying, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Speak the truth, every one of you, in your heart and unto your neighbor and before God. Let the communication that comes out of our mouth be yes. And when I say yes, it's yes. And no, and when I say no, that's what it is. That I don't have to swear by something greater or something else, because I realize that God is in heaven and I am upon earth. Whether I utter those specific words of time as if to say, well, I didn't swear. Or I've even heard folks say, well, I had my fingers crossed. You think the Lord is saying, oh, okay, he had his fingers crossed. No, no, man. That didn't mean it. That didn't mean anything. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. But I'll go back to what I said as we were reading there in Ecclesiastes. That the Lord was not saying, do not vow a vow. But when you do vow a vow, don't defer to pay it. Make sure that you follow through on that. Make sure that you don't just utter fool's language, where I just can so quickly pop off and promise this and promise that. Maybe I'm in distress. Maybe I'm sick. And Lord, if you'll heal me, I'll do this for you. Lord, if you'll get me out of this scrape, I'll never do that again. Lord, if you'll... The Lord's not saying don't make a vow. But you better make sure you mean it. And you better make sure that you follow through on that vow. Defer not to pay it. Think about the state of marriage in our world today. Marriages that are so quickly and so easily disannulled, dissolved. I've seen advertisements on billboards and things of that nature, and price tag $299 and however long, and your marriage can be dissolved. But go back to that day before an altar and before witnesses who stood before you. When I said, I vow unto you this day. Whatever those words were, folks, the Lord, just as He heard Jacob's vow, the Lord hears our vows. And it doesn't really matter if a judge will say, I'm willing to overlook it. I'm willing to tear up the paper, so to speak. There is something more binding today. There's something more binding than a piece of metal around a finger. There's something more binding than a paper that's filed with the courthouse somewhere. My vow before God, it means something. And the Lord hears out of heaven. It is really a miracle whenever a marriage takes place. That it is the Lord that joins together and makes one. And He said, what God has joined together, don't let man put asunder. Or man is not able to put asunder. Those vows that were uttered before God are in effect until death do us part. It doesn't matter again what the courthouse says, what the judge says. It doesn't matter what popular consensus says in our society. The Lord hears the vows that we make. And it is death alone that can separate us from the binding nature of that vow that I have made unto my spouse. But again, our world has so vastly lost this concept of the fear of God and the words that I speak. Oh, I can get up, and it's almost like the ceremony is more about making it Instagram worthy than it is realizing with fear what I am doing before God and these witnesses. And I believe that it's important for us to stress to our children and our young people, do not enter lightly into that. Don't enter lightly into marriage. Oh, it's better to never make a vow. It's better to never enter into marriage than to enter into it ill-advisedly. To enter into it half-hearted and think somehow that I can reverse those vows later on. Oh, it's so important to have a connection with the Lord. To have my life consecrated to Him before I ever utter such binding, serious words before the God of heaven. Well, the world has something of a philosophy on that as well. And it's not my desire to be harsh or critical of anybody, but folks, the word of the Lord is enduring and it is right. The philosophy of our world has taken that which one time was a shame and has sanctioned and condoned it. Now, some in the world realize the seriousness of marriage. It might be after several failed marriages, but the world, recognizing that, advises that it is better to live as if you are married without ever committing the vow. Their answer is, if you never make the vow, just live together as if you're husband and wife, but don't say the vow. Is that what's pleasing to the Lord? Was that the import of what He was saying in these scriptures? If you make a vow, defer not to pay it. He's not saying don't bind yourself to something like that. No, it's sanctioned of God and it is of God. But I've got to realize I need to enter into it in the fear of God and under His counsel. And once I do, I've got to realize that I've made a vow before God. And that vow is still binding in God's sight through the good times and through the bad times. through the tough, through richer, through poorer, in sickness and in health, that thing is still, the Lord still remembers that vow that I've made. And I need to as well. Defer not to pay it. Deuteronomy 23rd chapter says something similar. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and 21st verse says, "When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it will be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall not be sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth." Oh, be careful with the words that we utter. Be careful with the things that we speak before God and before man. Because the Lord takes very seriously the vows that we make before Him. And again, it might be in distress and in a pinch. And I wonder how many people have come down maybe at death's door in sickness, or maybe a near call, an accident or something. Lord, if you'll spare me from this, I'll serve you. I'll live for you. I'll give my life for you. Lord, I'll turn from this thing. I'll let go of that. I'll do this for you, Lord. If you'll just, and then the crisis passes and life gets back to normal, and how quickly we can forget the vows and the promises that I've made before God. Scripture says in Isaiah of Zion, of God's church, that it is the city of our solemnities. Our solemnities is our solemn assembling together. The things that we do together. Folks, it's not about just a religious form that we go through. It's not about we want to be religious, and so we know church is where you come to be religious, and the preacher will do his thing and the song leader will do their thing. Folks, this is something that every one of us must work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That when we come to the house of God, it is to be with a reverence unto God, to realize I'm doing business before the God of heaven. Lord, I want to work out my salvation in fear and trembling. And it is not this building. The building itself, we understand, is not the church. It is we who are born again who are the church. But when we gather together in our solemnities, in our solemn assemblies, there's not a whole lot more solemn than coming before the Lord to worship Him. There are life-changing things at stake that we preach about and we sing about and we pray about before the Lord. And it's not something that we enter lightly into. I know that we can sing the songs and almost get in, if we're not careful, just get into emotion. You ever sung the song, "In the heated furnace, Father, let me stay"? Oh, there's weight behind the words that I'm saying. I don't want to bind a bondage unto us, but I want us to have a carefulness and an introspection to consider, what are those vows that I've made before the Lord? What are those places that maybe God was dealing with my heart? You know, we can do that when conviction comes along. And I feel the Lord dealing with me, and I feel Him drawing me, and I have some business to do. I've got to do something with that when God is talking to me and showing me, you need to do this and you need to take care of that. I've got a decision to make. You know, if we're not careful, we can be as the man in James that has said he comes and he sees his image in the mirror. And he goes his way, and straightway he forgets what manner of man he was. And James was saying unto us, be more than a hearer of the word. But be a doer of it. When the Lord reveals something unto me, when the Lord shows me something that I need to do, and I'm thankful the Lord's dealings are different than the devil's. The devil will come along and he'll try to bring condemnation and guilt and shame, but he brings it with a helplessness and a hopelessness and a despair and a darkness. When the Lord comes along and puts his finger on something, it's as if he's saying, my child, if you'll come here. My child, if you'll take care of that, I'll meet you there. And the Lord does it with promise and with hope. But if I'm not careful, I can sit there and I can think, Lord, I'm going to do better about that. Lord, I got to do something with this that I'm feeling that the Lord's dealing with me about. Lord, I'm going to do better about that. I'm going to change some things and I'm going to put some things in place and I'm going to take care of that as soon as I get home or next week I'm going to deal with that thing. And how easy it is for the moment to pass, for the feeling to kind of subside. And I no longer feel that urgency. I no longer feel that compelling to go do that. And I can kind of just get back into the groove and forget that I ever purposed those things in my heart to the Lord. I want us to examine and ask ourselves, are there places that I've made vows before the Lord that I've gotten slack in, that I haven't taken care of, that I haven't fulfilled before the Lord? Maybe still thinking, well, one of these days I'm going to take, well, Lord, I still, a soul might say, one of these days I still mean to live for you. I still purpose to give my life to you. Well, I still mean to consecrate myself to the Lord's work. He said, defer not to pay it. Think about a time when the children of Israel had been so victorious. They had gone through Jericho, and I don't remember, maybe even Ai, an initial failure at Ai and victory, but the word of their victory had spread through the land, and the men of Gibeon, who were known to be a very mighty people, they themselves feared, and they sent ambassadors, people in a deceptive way unto Joshua and the children of Israel. And they had a story that they told him and convinced them to make a league. The thing that the Lord said, don't ever make a league with the inhabitants of the land. But it looked so plausible and it looked so reasonable. And they didn't ask counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And they swore themselves unto a vow to those people. And then it was made known to them that they had been deceived. What did they do with it? Well, forget that. All that's off the table now. You entered into that under false pretenses. And so it's all, no. They realized that they had made a vow before the God of heaven, and they were required to honor that vow that they had made. The scripture says, the man sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. I'd like to look at the 21st chapter of Matthew. Matthew 21 and 33. No, that's not the one I want. 21 and 28 of Matthew. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir. And he went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? Well, the second son said exactly what he should have said. Yes, sir. I'm going, sir. I'm going, father. The other one said, I'm not going. I'm not going to go do what you said. But what were they? And it's not to, Jesus wasn't justifying the things that we say. But he said, what was it? Which of them actually did the will of his father? And they said unto him the first, Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Now he had a message he was delivering of to his own, to the children, to Israel, to the Jewish people, who thought that they were entitled, they were God's people, and these publicans over here. But he's saying it's more important to actually fulfill the thing that was said, to not just say it and then maybe get distracted and go on my way, or maybe just say it to satisfy Father, but I never actually follow through with it. Say it and then do it. So spoke of the vows. What should we take away from this? Want us to realize that there is a seriousness, there is a solemnity of the vows that we make unto God. Not again to put us into a bondage or a fear, but to realize that there's a God that hears in heaven. I want us to realize, as the scripture says, that we should not enter into vows ill-advisedly or quickly or just spontaneously. And yet, we are to enter into vows. If the Lord brings us to a place and it's in His plan to marry, that's the only way that it'll be recognized in God's sight, is by the binding of the vows that we make to one another. And there are vows that we're to make unto God. The scripture says, bind the sacrifice unto the horns of the altar. There is to be more than just serving the Lord out of a whim or out of emotion, or maybe there's an emotional service and everyone else is responding and saying, Lord, I'll go with you all the way. And so I say, well, sure, I'm going to go all the way with them. Well, that's important. That's good for us to make those kind of determinations, but I need to follow through with it and mean it with all of my heart and to do it. I think about a story of, it's from the 13th or 14th century. King John of Bohemia was a blind king. His men loved him and had a loyal devotion to him. And he wanted to be able to go out into battle. His men agreed and said, we'll put you on the saddle, on the horse, and we'll go with you. And they lined up alongside their king. And they tied the bridles of each of their horses to one another. Why would you do a thing like that? You know, in the heat of the battle, it could be easy to say, you know what? I don't know that I'm up to this. I'm out of here. You know what? I changed my mind. I'm not really serious about this. This is more than I bargained for. They were, in other words, making a vow unto their king. We're going to go with you all the way. And you know, the Lord wants people to serve Him, not just out of a heart that says, well, Lord, I'm going to try it out. I'm going to see what it's like. I'll see how far I go with you. But then I'll make those determinations. Lord, I'll go with you all the way. Lord, I'm not turning back. Well, you know something? It's going to take more than our strength, our resolve, and our ability to follow through on our solemn vows and our purposes and our desires. It's going to require something more than ourselves. It is, as Paul said, by the grace of God. I am what I am. Think of a song we sing sometimes. It says, I can see far down the mountain where I wandered weary years, often hindered in my journey by the ghosts of doubts and fears, broken vows and disappointments thickly scattered all the way. But the Spirit led unerring to the land I hold today. Let us not shrink back from making those vows unto the Lord that we need to make. That I am, in essence, tying my bridles to the Lord. Lord, I'm in this until the end. By your grace and by your help, There's not an exit path that I have planned. If the battle gets hot, what am I going to do? I'm going to stay with the Lord. I made some vows before the Lord. I made some promises to Him. I think of the children of Israel when Joshua brought them together and said, "Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And then He turned it to them and said, "Now what are you going to do?" And they said in so many words that He will be our God and we will serve Him forever. And Joshua called heaven to record against them. "Heaven, God heard the things that you said. And I am a witness between thee and thy God that this was a covenant that you've made unto Him." I'd like to close with the words of a song. Number 220. Number 220, the fourth verse says, "To these vows I ever firm will remain, giving all, still I have all things to gain. Though by friends I be rejected and slain, with the King and all His beauty I'll reign." May that be each one of our purpose and our determination. Lord, by Your grace, I'm going to be faithful to the vows that I have made unto You. And if there are areas that we look back on our lives and realize, you know, there was a place that I made some promises to the Lord. You know, I think the Lord from time to time wants to come back to us like He did unto Jacob and say, "I am the God of Bethel. I'm the God that dealt with you when you first got saved. I'm the God that was there at the altar when you gave yourself to me in sanctification. I am the God that has met you. I am the God that heard the vows that you made. And I want to remind you of those." If we find ourselves in a place that I have become slack to the vows that I've made, may we in all sincerity and truth renew those vows before the Lord. Lord, not just in word only, but Lord, give me the grace to fulfill and to carry through the vows that I have made unto You. You pray for me that I'll be faithful.